And it just starts like, no, hello.
That's it. We're on.
We're on.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back. Hope you've all had a good weekend. Yes. Tara, yours.
Yes, I have had a good weekend.
Have you?
Yes, I have. I haven't really done much, like, but, you know, same shit. I shouldn't say that, should I?
Don't worry. We should swear all the time.
But yeah, I had a fun weekend. What about you?
Yeah, no, it's good. But this one we're excited about today.
Yes,
because
we
have a guest.
Yay. And it's not just me and Alison.
This
Paul
is the second guest we've had. I think we had Michelle.
Yeah.
And we've got the
good
lovely Sarah with us today.
Hi, Sarah.
Who actually is probably regretting ever reaching out on Instagram. She was so lovely. She reached out and said that you enjoyed the podcasts and da 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 da. And I immediately just went, do you want to come on? because you had said that you'd had a few issues in the past, but now you felt brilliant and you were 50. And I thought, well, that's exactly
here we are
the message
for.
That we want to send out, that no matter what you're going through, it's possible to get to where you want to be. So I reached out and you went, oh no, that might not be for me. And then you said,
here
you
are.
I spoke to my coach and she said, you have to do this.
Yes.
So here we are.
Here she is. And she's appeared like a vision.
Like a vision.
If
you could see.
We do really appreciate you coming on because we do know that it is nerve-wracking and it is hard. And because we've done a few, we just go, it's just us talking.
Yeah.
But it is nerve-wracking
for the first
and you're
time.
Out of your comfort zone.
I'm just glad there's no video.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
would be even
yes.
worse. I wouldn't know where to look.
Oh no, Carrie and I couldn't possibly try to maneuver. No,
we're always
one day maybe
of that
we'll
too.
Work out how to
yeah,
do the
yeah,
video.
Yeah.
Get your own YouTube channel and start doing that.
And so many people will listen to this as well and just be inspired. And that's exactly what we will want. Because
hopefully.
Yes, well, hopefully we'll definitely, you know.
And I think it really helps whenever people hear from people that aren't us, because we're always talking and we're always saying this, and this. But I think when you hear from people who have been through, well, you know, a story.
Yeah.
Because everybody has one.
Everybody
has a story and everybody has had challenges and everybody has things. So we're just going to delve in, ask you these questions.
No, nothing too personal.
Like us, we'll always go off on tangents. But we've already learned that it took her 70 hours to deliver her daughter. But yeah, that's how far we've gone already. Maybe we'll get you to share the birth story. So anyway, what I think people would like to know initially is... a wee bit about you. Where did you grow up?
Okay.
We've already said that you're 50 now. So, you know, what was your childhood like? Did you have a happy time at school? All those type of things.
Okay.
So, over to Sarah.
So, born in Cardiff, of all places.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here we go. Now I'm going to have all sorts of questions.
1973. Mum and Dad met when they were in the RAF.
Okay.
And got married. Very quickly after I came along. So mum was only 18. Dad was 19. Dad's originally from Carrick. So they moved back across.
Is your mummy Welsh?
No, she's from Cardiff, yeah.
Right, okay.
So they moved across when I was about 18 months old. They came back to Carrick and lived with my granny and granda for a wee while. 1980, then my younger brother came along.
Oh, so you were on your own.
I was on my own.
Loved for years when it was
how
just
many
you.
Years in?
Seven years.
Oh, 7 years. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you
so,
hold that against them? Were
absolutely.
You just saying I was...
Got it.
Yeah.
I was the youngest grandchild. And
spoiled.
I was absolutely...
Ruined.
Ruined.
Yeah.
So it was, and then he came along and just took
spoiled
away
the party.
So I did.
Spoiled the party.
Yeah,
Bummer.
So grew up in Carrick.
Right, okay. So that was where you went to school and everything?
Went to school, yeah. Primary school and secondary school in Carrick. It wasn't the Waltons.
Okay.
Okay. So... We'll not delve in too much about that. There were various things that just went on that had a massive impact on the rest of my life, if I'm honest with you, up until probably, I would say, late 30s, early 40s. Suffered really, really badly with bouts of depression.
From a teen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a long time, Sarah.
Long time. So there were sticking plasters put over all the time.
Okay.
And when I was old enough, I was on antidepressants. Tried therapy a couple of times, but whenever it got painful,
Stopped it. But it's hard to go there. It's hard to go there. And I think if you're not ready to go there, it's just frightening.
Yeah. Horrible.
When you're young as
and
well.
And a wee bit like you, whenever you approached your coach for your... eating you know, you had tried so much on your own and all these different things, antidepressants, the whole stuff, and it was only when you reached
when I was breaking point
that you had to go, no, I have to
I
do this
help.
So my coping mechanism was literally just leave a trail of destruction behind you. So it was
for years, alcohol,
years. It was drinking too much, partying too much, dabbling drugs, bad relationships, treated people badly. I'll put my hand up now and say I wasn't a very nice person.
Hurt people. Yeah. I always tell my Casey that because I was not a nice person in school. You know, and I've been bad.
You've told me that loads of times, and I can't imagine Kerry being a nasty girl. But then. I think it's really good for people to hear, because I mean, I was no angel either, but I think it's honest.
Yeah.
It's honest, and you've been through a thing and you've now gone, right, okay, well, I'm very aware that I wasn't a nice person.
You're owning it now, but it wasn't always that way.
You know, so
that was in your teens.
Teens, right. And honestly, right up until late 30s, early 40s, whenever I decided I needed to stop reacting to things and start responding.
And what made you even get to that point?
I think it was probably whenever I started having the menopausal symptoms.
Okay.
So as soon as the first time you went go to the doctor, they just throw antidepressants at you. You have a history.
Uh-huh.
You have a history of pattern depression. So you take tablets.
You'd been on and off those, had you, throughout your life, really?
Yeah. And at that point when you went and you were experienced perimenopause, were you on antidepressants at that point?
No,
so you were
I haven't been on them for years and years. So coming up to my 30th birthday, it nearly killed me. Absolutely devastated. Everybody was getting married around me. Okay. I was single. People were having kids.
Had you been in long-term relationships up to that point?
Yeah, I'd always been in relationships, you know, for a few years, then one night stands, and then another couple of few years, and just never settled, picked the wrong people.
And you probably weren't in a mental state anyway meet the right person?
Not at all.
But at the time, you don't know that. You think, why am I not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
God, anybody that took me on then would have deserved a medal. So 30s, nearly, like I say, turning 30, it was just the most depressing time.
Did you just head a wall then?
Disgusted, you know, that this was happening. And where was I? I wasn't worthy of anything. I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough daughter. I'm not a good enough friend. I'm not a good enough in work. I'm not clever. And it was just everything.
Were you close to your parents at this point?
Or
are you close? Are they still alive?
Very, very close to my parents now. Always had probably a stronger relationship with my mum than I did with my dad.
Okay.
But there was only so much they could do, you know.
Yes.
I was just,
especially as you grow and become an adult and all those things.
Yeah. So when I was 32, 33, I met Clifford through work.
The big red dog.
Clifford the big red dog. That's my Evie calls him.
My kids love that show.
He was contracting for the company that I was working with.
Is he from here?
Yeah. He's originally from the Shankill.
Okay.
And living in Barringer. So at the time, I was going with someone who was a lovely, lovely, lovely person, but just not
for you.
I was settling for someone who was never going to hurt me. But he did light
your soul and fire.
Yeah. So Clifford, I didn't have any idea that there was anything there. I just thought, he's nice to look at. Until we were at a wedding day for one of the girls that worked with us as well. At the time, I didn't like eating in front of people, not because I had any issues with food. It was listening to people eat turned me.
Okay.
And there was a whole crowd of people around me, so I thought, I can't do this. So I just took my handbag of happiness, the 3-litre box of wine, and happily drank my way through that. The end of the night, sure, Clifford got jumped on.
Delighted with himself.
I think I rang in sick on the Monday because I couldn't face, because everybody from work was there.
Did you have the horrors the next day?
Absolutely.
Were you just beyond horrors. Because of this boy you were with?
Yeah.
And just so everything that
immediately
goes
immediately, that was, right, this is over.
Oh, was it? That was it,
yeah,
done?
Yeah, I can't stay with this person.
Because knowing what you'd done.
Not thinking that there was ever going to be anything between Cliff and I. And then a huge bouquet of flowers got delivered.
Oh.
From Clifford?
Yes.
Ah.
Can we talk?
Or you hadn't turned into work. He was probably couldn't wait to clap eyes on you. And there you hadn't come. And his heart's probably going, she doesn't like me.
Oh my goodness. So at that point, you know, do you start feeling a bit better about within yourself and stuff? Because sometimes it's...
I want to know what happened with the flowers.
Oh, I know it's next. But I'm just thinking, you know, when you start feeling, when you're feeling crap and you just you give that energy, or don't you? So you're never going to attract
the right person.
Yeah.
You repel.
So, going on. So ended everything. Clifford and I met up a couple of times after that. Within 3 months we were living together. Ended a house in South Belfast.
Done.
Clifford had said, I'm never getting married and I never want to have kids.
Okay.
And I thought, challenge accepted.
Okay, love it.
And at that point, did you want children? Was that not really on your radar or?
I was never, I have to have kids. It was if it happens, it happens.
Okay, so it wasn't like a burning desire.
No, definitely not. And I was quite happy, you know, just for us to be together.
Okay.
And it was only until we'd been away across in England and visited his brother. And there are a couple of kids and saw Cliff with the kids and you could see him starting to make a few changes. Yeah. And we were away on holiday in Tunisia and we're just lying by the pool one day and Clifford said, you know what, why don't you just come off the pool and we'll try.
Okay, so it was him that actually...
And I was like, chuck those away!
Run under the room. Nobody can see me, I pretend running. Right.
So we tried and tried and tried and tried
But that's interesting because in the back of your head... You're going, I do want kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it just because...
But it wouldn't have been the be-all and end-all.
If you hadn't.
You know, if we hadn't had them, I think I probably would have been okay. I don't know. I can't imagine anyway.
Yeah.
So we tried and tried. We're getting nowhere. And made a few appointments and got an appointment with the fertility clinic. Went out for our Christmas dinner on the Friday night. Sarah did her usual. Drank everything that was going around her. And died a death on the Saturday, and on the Sunday morning we'd done. I literally every month I was peeing on a stick. Yeah. No one.
Oh, I remember the feeling of that because you just wanted
just
so
no
badly.
One. It's not, yes. Nothing's there. Nothing there. I woke up on the Sunday morning and went, I'm pregnant.
What did you just feel? Me?
And look at the drink I put away on Friday night. So there was always tests in the house. So straight in, peed on a stick. This gulder came out of me. Clifford wondered what the hell was going on. And I came down and I was like, it's pregnant. And I was literally, I think it said 2 to 3 weeks. So I was only just, knew.
Isn't that amazing?
that was going to be the time.
Wow. So you didn't even need to go to the fertility.
No, and our appointment was actually that following week that we should have been there. So it was ringing up and going, hi, can I cancel now? Yeah. Please.
Your bitch is pregnant.
So we were going to my mum and dad's for dinner. So I was all like, don't say a word until after 12 weeks. We're telling nobody. So got to mum and dad's house. Dad was at the pub and he came in and went, why has nobody got a drink in their hand? And I went, I'm not having a drink today.
You're pretty
why? Strong. Straight away. Why? And I was like,
antibiotics.
Yeah. Because I'm pregnant.
Oh, look, just one minute.
Clever your mum and dad.
So Evie was the first grandchild, obviously then on our side. So yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
So that was that.
So after Evie, because that's obviously a big massive thing, was that like a...
Yes,
how did
that affect your emotional sort of state? You'd obviously been through it up to that point. I mean,
thought
how
it was
old
great.
Were you?
Thought
you,
it was
you
great.
Must have had her, what age were you?
36 and a half.
Right, so you'd been through it up to that point. You'd been up and down in the cycle
down,
of anxiety and depression.
Sure, I thought I was great. I was handling everything so well.
Excited then, to be having this wee baby.
Absolutely loved every minute of pregnancy.
Yeah.
You know, my dad used to say, will you stop rubbing that belly?
I know, I used to
touching the belly. I would have put headphones in so she could listen to music.
Yeah.
Loved to take a sip of Fanta to get her bouncing around my belly. Just loved every minute of it. I can remember when I was young, my cousin coming in with her first child and breastfeeding her. And I was like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Can't even stay in the same room. Rotten. And as soon as I fell pregnant, I was all, I am breastfeeding, I'm having a water birth, I'm doing everything. Yeah. And a day, it just took to, after Evie was born, after the whole drama of her coming along.
Which we've already heard, 70 hours, people, 70 hours. Cesarean section, no scar.
Emergency C-section and no scar, amazing.
Yeah. But boxes
they took you into recovery and they say, look, I'll be back in a minute. No, you want to breastfeed, we'll be back in a minute to show you what to do. By the time she came back.
Latched on.
Is this okay? She doesn't feel okay. It's like,
that's so easy.
Just did it.
It must have been because you were quite relaxed about it. You couldn't wait. You decided that you were going to do it.
So
you couldn't
excited.
Wait to be the natural type of mum and all that stuff. And I think when people have that, I mean, it doesn't only have to be about that, but when you know in your heart something
just
is going
really,
to happen.
Really wanted it. I didn't get my water birth, so my God, I was breastfeeding.
Yeah,
you were doing everything else you had planned.
It's
so
amazing.
I did. So I had a wee bit of a lull probably when Evie was about six months or so. And it was funny, there's photographs that popped up on my memories. I'm going to ever see it. I can actually remember being at mum and dad's one day, and I can't remember what happened, but I just completely lost the plot. I think it was... Clifford's mummy was telling me I should do some things, and my mum was telling me I should do other, and I just blew. But you can see in the photographs, just looking behind at my eyes, just knew I was going through another episode.
It's funny when you look at that and you can see, we were talking about that, weren't we? Sometimes you can look at photos and you can actually pinpoint the feelings and remember them clear as day.
Just looking at that and going, my God, you were in another one of your wee dark periods.
Was that a gradual dip?
Yeah.
And then you just kind of went, no, done.
Just came out of it. So I did. And then, I say, when I was around about my 40th birthday, I went and had my regular smear tests. Came back with high-grade precancerous cells.
Right.
So had to go and have a couple.
That's a real bolt.
Terrible. Just shitting yourself.
Yeah. Of course.
Like, you wait so long. You know, these have come back, and then you wait so long for the appointment to go something done. So I had to get a couple of procedures done. At that time, then Clifford, we'd been trying and trying to have another child. It wasn't happening. So we'd said at a certain point, we'll just knock it in the head.
We'll clip it. It's done.
So clipping it is exactly what we did. So Clifford went off
and got clipped.
Oh, my Chris got snipped after the second time.
Not taking the pill forever.
No.
Go get yourself sorted out. So came off the pill and everything after that.
Was that a hard decision to make?
Not at all.
No, but just deciding, like, okay, we'll just close the door on a second child.
Yeah.
Because that would be hard if your heart's in it, you know, I'd love to have another. You know, that can play a lot of tricks with you.
Yeah, but time is ticking on, and I didn't want to be, obviously, as you get older, you take, I suppose there are more ladies having babies no later in their lives now,
there
but
are.
You've always got that thing in the back of your head. And I was just
you
thinking,
don't want to
you
be a really
what?
Old mummy.
Yeah, it's not obviously not for us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just not get in the head.
Yeah, and you were lucky.
We'll be grateful. You said you never ever wanted kids. We've got Eva.
Yeah,
let's
and here
just
we
leave
are.
It at that.
Yeah.
So it was after that then I started to get really, really itchy skin. Like waking up in the middle of the night. And my forearms would be bleeding, my chest would be bleeding, my periods were all over the place. And then I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? So you go, could be thyroid.
This is after the smear scare?
After all that,
all fixed?
Everything was all fixed, all sorted
and you're
out.
All
but
clear
it was after
that.
That operation, we think that was having that done, kicked me into early menopause.
Triggered.
Okay.
So it did. So that's when all these things started coming on. At the time, I was working for BT in quite a high-pressured role in there.
Okay.
And my mood was just...
Shocking.
Awful. If I wasn't fighting with someone, I was bursting into tears in the middle of meetings.
Hating Clifford.
He couldn't do right for doing wrong.
He could not breathe quietly enough.
No.
I know, I remember that. Could you breathe any longer?
Wanted to lose a bit of weight, it wasn't shifting at all, you know, and then I was going, I really love a bar of chocolate, so he'd bring me a bar of chocolate. I'm going, what the fuck are you doing bringing me chocolate for? I'm trying to lose weight, so I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was just awful. The itchy skin, the sleepless nights, the sitting, having
the flushes were coming over, you were saturated,
so I'm going to the doctors again and telling them, no, that you've got depression again, we'll give you some antibiotics.
Even though you were telling them all those.
You're only 42. You're only 42, there is no
way.
And
you were presenting with a variety of things.
The reason I had to start getting my nails done with the gels was because I was ripping my skin apart. So I was going in and saying, look, that's a symptom of thyroid. You're sure you're Scottish thyroid in your family.
It's interesting though, but that's 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and things have obviously moved on a lot now with Davina McCall and people like that really drawing attention. At that point, there wasn't anything, and the GPs were just like, no, HRT, I didn't know anything about menopause. Nobody talked to me about menopause.
You know, you knew nothing. So there must have been at least 6, maybe 7 visits.
Gosh, a lot. Sarah.
And they tested me 3 times for my thyroid because it was history of thyroid in the family. And I was going, okay, so if it was underactive or overactive, would I not be losing a lot of weight or putting a lot of weight on?
That's a big sign.
My weight's not. What is going on? And it was only until one day where I was literally like a crazy woman over the desk and said, you are not putting another needle in me for thyroid. Test me now. I think I'm going through the menopause.
You need
to test my hormones. And they sort of smirked. All right.
Oh my God. Your life's been hell.
That was on the Wednesday night. It'll take about a week. So Friday evening, we were sat eating our dinner. Around 5:10, the phone goes. Oh, look, it's the doctor. though, Mrs. Davis. So your FCH levels have come back. So if they're over 35, you're pairing.
Okay.
96.
Oh my goodness.
So I was well past even.
I was going to say you're nearly through the bloody perimenopause.
Past that. Would you like to make an appointment to come in and discuss HRT? I said no. Write my prescription.
I'll pick
for
it
HRT
up.
And no, I will pick it up it. As soon as possible.
So did you get the patches?
Tablets.
Right. And have you been on those ever since?
Ever since.
And did they change your life?
Within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I told you, Carrie. I haven't done the patches with mine, and I had kind of put it off going to the doctor, even the flushes and all the rest. I wasn't like anywhere near as bad as you, but the flushes and the sleepless nights are a killer on their own.
I hated myself. I wasn't being a good wife. I wasn't being a good mother.
That was me.
I wasn't a good employee.
For no reason.
Nobody wanted to be anywhere
probably
near
probably not a good friend either.
Nobody wanted to be anywhere near me. I didn't want to be near me.
Yeah.
If I could have ran away from myself, believe me, I would have ran.
Yeah. That's amazing though that it helped just, you then that quick a time.
It was incredible.
I mean, that would be a thing that we would say to any people out there that are maybe going, oh, I don't want to go on HRT. And of course, do the research. Do whatever you need to do.
And it's not going to work for everybody.
But go and discuss it with a specialist.
Don't dismiss it straight away.
Because for sure I put it off. Not because I had anything against HRT, actually. I'm not a great one for going to the doctor.
Yeah.
And just like you, within a week, my hot flushes had stopped. I was sleeping better.
Oh,
my life had changed.
Like,
so I would encourage people to look into
just
it.
Don't
put up with it.
Yeah.
Don't have to put up with it.
I'm only 39 and I got lucky. I got a good doctor. I literally went in and all my blood tests came back normal.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew myself. Like, I was with you. I seemed really low all the time.
Yeah.
Didn't I? I was crying 1 minute. I was okay the next. Greg was breathing wrong all the time. I was being irritable with the kids. And I just wasn't myself. And I come off the drink, I'd done everything that I'm meant to do and all the things you're meant to do, and I still wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I went and the doctor says, well, if it's not perimenopausal, then this won't work. If it is, then it will work. And I've been on it a month and I feel amazing.
Yeah.
You
got a lady doctor who was quite young.
Yeah.
Was a wee bit of, she was close to your age, you know, so
yeah.
you, it was so
yeah.
good.
And
you
I think that's now where we're really going to start to see the changes, because there are more younger doctors in the surgeries
there is,
now.
And people are more aware.
The doctors that we would have been dealing with, they never had to have any part of menopause training to become a GP.
Well,
so they
GP
don't know anything.
Is a general practitioner.
Yeah,
they
but
know
that's an add-on. That
bits about loads of things.
Yeah, it's an add-on.
Yes.
So they just didn't bother with it because everybody just sucked it up and got on with it.
Yeah.
So I think now you're definitely going to see it's so prevalent in the press and the media and everybody's talking about it now. There's no
it's a good thing.
No taboo.
It's a good thing.
You know, I'll tell anybody.
If it helps anybody
else. It doesn't matter.
Don't
in a conversation.
In silence,
I wouldn't be embarrassed to say
that you're on HRT.
HRT. I can't even say menopausal. I'm postmenopausal.
Me
I'm
too.
The other side.
Yeah.
You know, but with these younger doctors now, I think you're going to start seeing
people
being taken seriously, because the amount of money that they could have pumped into me from just antidepressants,
I know.
All those blood tests.
But even
like,
that
why
stuff isn't even helping the problem.
No.
It's just masking it.
Then you're
going
away and then you're thinking you're broken. You're thinking there's something wrong with
you. Here we go again.
And there's not. It's just literally a hormonal imbalance.
Yeah.
You
know? Interesting.
So I think at that point then, whenever I started to feel more like me.
Was that the turning point for you?
That was
that
me. I was like,
the line in the sand.
I need to do something for me.
Yeah.
Right. How old was Evie?
So I
was
44 whenever I was diagnosed. So that's 6 years ago.
Right.
So she'd have been 7.
She was at primary school.
She
was away during the day.
Yeah.
All the rest of it. So you kind of, your head came out of the clouds.
Absolutely.
You came out
I
of
was
the
like,
fog.
Do you know what? You have lived with this black cloud hanging over you from you were no age. I can't fix or change what it was that made me like that.
Yes.
All I can do is try and change
but
who
what,
I am now.
What made you have the clarity to do that? What made you feel that you could then? Was it because that you were beginning
because
to be better,
I, better
in yourself?
And I was just so sick of all those wasted years.
Yes. Had you been listening to anything, podcasts or reading books or anything like that? Or was
I
it just
think,
your
think,
own
it was just,
realization?
It was
just
me.
You started feeling yourself
just,
again.
You know,
you feel alive.
I felt
like
so
normal.
Awful. It wasn't depression. I'm, you know, that I suppose.
You're grateful probably
that
it wasn't.
That defined me for too long.
Yes.
And I
yes.
am not going. I am not going to be miserable, ratty, horrible Sarah
hating,
anymore
hating your
you
life
know,
yeah
what's done is done
So it was just there.
We just need to move on, and I just need to do something for me and just find out who I am, because I didn't really know
who I was. I think that's the case for lots of women in and around our ages.
You know, I've gone,
people are kind of lost because they've been mums, they've been wives, they've been employees, they've been daughters.
I've been miserable, and then I was married, or mummy, then married, then miserable again because of something that was
out of your control.
Out of my control. Yeah. It was my body was doing this to me.
Yes.
And now I'm like, right, okay. It wasn't depression, Sarah. And I probably could have slipped into a bit of depression because of what I was going through at that time.
You could have been pushed in that direction.
You know, but we came out the other side, and it was like, right, you know what? Stop this pissing about. Start looking after yourself.
Okay.
So we had always had a gym membership. I was always spinning or body pump or doing this or doing that.
Yes.
Now and again, went down and lifted a couple of dumbbells and did a couple of bicep curls. Yeah. Thought it was rocky. So
beach weight.
We joined, a wee pink weights. We joined Elysium. And I've probably been there for...
With your husband?
With the two of us, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably been there maybe 6 or 7 months. Clifford and I always would have went together. And we'd go on a Saturday morning. And Adam Wilson, who was my coach for a long time, took a boot camp class on a Saturday morning. So Saturday morning, there would have been maybe 6 or 7 girls there. They'd do upper body one day. Sunday morning, they'd do lower body. And they were having great crack. And at this point, I just sort of went, hello.
Can I come?
A wee wave now and again, but never really spoke to anybody.
Yeah.
So I just declared, I'm going to go to these classes. So went, and the crack was 90. Met so many really lovely girls.
Was that scary to go to that? Or had you sort of got to the stage where you felt more confident in yourself? So you pushed yourself to do it?
It was a bit of a push. I wouldn't say it was comfortable to do, but I mean, after the first session...
Done. Yeah.
That was me addicted. So I was doing that, really, really enjoying it, and seeing crazy changes so quickly just from lifting weights.
Did you feel changes in your mind as well?
Yeah, just loved it. Really empowering.
Yes, I was going to say, it just make you feel, fucking doing it here?
So we were away on holiday, and a couple of people, when we've been away, had asked me, did I work in fitness? And I was laughing, going, no way do you work in fitness? You having a laugh? So whenever we came back, I had booked to go and get Botox for the first time.
Okay.
And then, I don't like needles, so I said to Clifford, like, I'm not doing this. But I'm going to use my Botox, mummy. I'm going to ask Adam to coach me for a month and show me how to actually work out.
Had the notion been in your head that you wanted to compete or anything?
Not at all.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Sarah eventually ended up on stage, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Never.
No, so this was just you wanting to keep pushing yourself a wee bit, feel stronger, feel better.
I just want to go in and know what I'm doing. I wanted to go more than the boot camp classes during the week. I want to actually go in and do something properly.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Was the premise for going in the first place with your husband, and then when you wanted to book these classes, was this all because you wanted to be happier with how you looked, or did you just enjoy the feeling
just
of it?
Just enjoyed the feeling of it.
Yeah, so that's quite nice for us to hear because I know lots of people go to the gym. Me, purely I do from years ago. It's all about losing weight.
Don't get me wrong. I just wanted to
you
do
like the way
something.
It made you look as well. And I think there's no shame in saying that at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what we know, that lots of people our age, they want to change the way they look and they want to change how they feel. And we can't pretend that that's not what it is. That's the reality of it.
And don't get me wrong,
it's connected.
I never thought there would have been changes the way they were because I was going through the menopause. You naturally start losing muscle. I'm just trying to do
and you're tall
a wee bit
and
to try and
fight
the effects of time. You know, never thinking anything of this. So,
but you love the way it made you feel
loved
as
it.
Well.
Absolutely loved
so
it.
So you got your personal
so
training.
So 1 month turned into 2 months.
Right.
Turned into 3 months.
You were addicted to Adam.
Just loved him.
So how many times a week were you training with him?
At the start, I was doing twice a week. Then I went to 3 times a week.
Right. So you were really having to invest your money as well in this.
I was just loving it.
It was important to you.
Really, really loved it. This was
love, hate, this was mine. Yes.
My time to go in there.
And did you feel the changes in your body? Did you begin to see the muscles grow?
Absolutely.
And,
really,
Because that's
quickly.
A slow process, though, isn't it, really,
But generally? Because I hadn't, because it was the newbie games.
Yes. You didn't have any to begin with,
no.
So boom.
Well, yeah, it was coming really quickly.
So then somebody had just made a passing comment one day saying, if you thought of competing, and again, no, don't be daft. And Adam said, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that so amazing when somebody just plants a wee seed?
No. I was like, there's no way I could do that, getting on a stage. Well, about 2 weeks later, I said to him, right.
Oh, my goodness.
Why the hell not? We'll do it once.
So how did that come around in your mind?
Just
from being over, no bloody way. It was a nudge.
See, from no, like from the whole way through school, I was just skinny. Left school, discovered alcohol and Chinese's, blew up.
Yeah.
Never.
Hello. Never. I'll not show you my wedding pictures.
And you know what? Never loved my body.
Yes.
Ever, ever, ever. And I just thought, you know what?
Let's see what this
I'm
bitch
enjoying
can
the way I look now.
I look good.
I'm not going to win anything. We'll do it for the crack. Mm-hmm. If you can stand up there in a bikini.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
You've beaten your demons in your head. Oh my God. What you look like.
Yeah.
So,
quite extreme. Don't recommend everybody.
So the first one we did was at Naba, and oh my God.
So what was the prep like? Was it dead intense? Because obviously, you know, you I mean, I've seen lots of people
first time round, it wasn't too bad because I hadn't had any sort of off season. This was me basically started.
See the way she said there, first time round.
Oh, we just did it all the time.
I didn't have an awful lot of body fat to lose.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad. So it wasn't, didn't have to drop calories crazy low or anything like that.
Yeah.
And didn't have to do cardio or anything. So we did the first one. Absolute car crash. But the smile on my face.
Oh, terrifying.
Just feeling
absolutely
so proud.
Absolutely terrifying. You're standing with all the girls out the back and you all obviously go on and everybody's lined up together. But then you have to do a solo bit.
And this is in your age group, is it? Is it all in age
groups? No, the first time I did it, first one with Naba, it was the novice figure. So it was literally, I think I was the oldest one on the stage.
Okay.
So when you're all in your line together, it's, you know, you're all together and then they go, and Sarah Davis,
oh
you're standing beside going,
what have I done?
It's amazing.
I have to go out here. My mum's there, Clifford's there, Amy's there, half of Elysium is there.
Oh, I've no clothes
and
on.
And I just thought, do you know what? I
That's amazing.
A smile on my face. I can't pose.
Oh.
I can't do anything. I look like absolute crap. There's hardly a bit of muscle on me.
I mean, if you were to look at
you,
it
was hilarious. So I placed sixth or something there. Then BNBF.
But it gave you a real jolt.
So BNBF then was a couple of months later. So did that. Looked a bit better for that. Practiced a bit of posing so it wasn't quite so embarrassing. But I placed second in the Belfast qualifiers. Yeah. I think it was five of us that year. Got invited to go to the British finals in Perth in Scotland. Yes. And placed third. So I was like, what?
On cloud nine.
It just shows you.
This was 2019. So 2018, I had started with Adam. A year later, I'm on the stage at the British finals.
Yeah.
With BNBF.
Competing.
And it's a natural federation, just for anybody who doesn't follow bodybuilding. Just insane.
But
it was
amazing
such
how
a high.
Even the first time, how you said how you felt you were bad, it was wick looking back and all the rest of it. But obviously, anytime you start anything, it's always like that, isn't it? And then it's just keeping doing it and continuing, and then you just get better. You feel a wee bit more confident. You feel better in yourself.
Just
and then
amazing.
It's just like a
placing third at the British finals, they actually invited me to go to the Worlds. And I was like, this is just, how is this happening? This is crazy. Like, financially, I just couldn't have done it.
Where was it? Where was the world?
I think that year it was in Miami.
Oh, okay.
So there's just no way I could have done it. So it was all right. We're going to do this again next year. But then, of course, in 2020,
COVID.
We all got a wee bit of a cold. And couldn't go anywhere, Diana.
Lockdown for years.
Lockdown. So, but I was determined. I was going
Did
to keep
Did you continue
on going.
To train at home and stuff there?
Well, I begged, borrowed and stayed anything I could get my hands on.
Because everybody wanted to...
get a
dumbbell?
I mean, there was literally... I had a wee set of dumbbells out of Argos. I think at one point, during one of the lockdowns, I got a bar from the gym and some plates. But the very first one round, Clifford put a gazebo up in the back garden and I put all my bits and pieces out there because there's no room in the house. I just went out and did that. And then that was there the whole summer. And then I remember at the end of August, you know, in August you always get the winds and the thunder
and all
the rest of it. Phoning Clifford from the gazebo and I'm literally holding it down because it's going away. And in tears,
the gazebo's blown away.
Honest to God, I was like heartbroken. It's like, this is my thing. I'm into this routine. I train every day. I go and I do this and I need to, I have a
this
goal.
This gazebo needs to stay.
It has to stay.
Yeah.
So in 21, then they started running. There was a few competitions going, but I hadn't been able to train properly. And I thought, no, I'm not going to go on a competition just to be in a competition.
Okay.
So the last time I completed was last summer. Did BNBF in Belfast qualifiers again. placed first in the master's figure and the overall female.
Oh,
went across to, it was in the south of England last year, went across and in the finals there and placed fourth. At that stage, the competition was crazy.
But that's really still unbelievable
achievements, like in such a short space of
and
time.
And do you feel proud of yourself? Do you allow yourself
Absolutely.
To feel proud?
But
can you imagine having had that feeling about yourself if you'd have been able to feel like that 10 years previous?
Oh, my goodness.
Not in a million.
Unstoppable.
And you know what? One of the things for me was, this is my thing, and I am quite selfish with my time. But I mean, I get up at silly o'clock to walk the dog and fit
Same
everything
us,
in.
Yeah.
Do everything.
See, this is the message that we do. We don't like people. It's not that we don't like people. We
just don't like people.
We just don't like people.
Me neither.
We try to let people see that they do have time. You know, that yes.
If you're wise, big enough.
Carrie has two kids that are 5 and 10. I'm okay now. My kids have gone to uni.
Yeah.
But yes, if it's important to you.
Yeah.
You make it work.
You can find the time.
And what I didn't want to do is to say to Clifford, this is this thing that I'm going to do, but in order for me to do that, you now have to do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Because I didn't want there to be any sort of feelings of resent coming back
or
to me.
Arguments
for
begin to happen.
Do you get into it, or does he just train like 3 times a week and just like, but not?
He used to, but not.
Okay,
anyway. He's
not.
Lost his mojo
okay,
completely.
Okay.
Oh, it's come on.
Come on, that's what we do.
He's no interest. It's not his thing. So I just made sure.
But is he proud of you?
Absolutely. At the Belfast qualifiers, again, it's a big part of my life, and it's a big part of me now.
Yeah.
But part of me always thinks, am I really embarrassing Evie? Because she's at that age.
Has she ever made noises about that?
No, but Evie would never say anything to hurt my feelings either.
Yeah.
So whenever we were at the qualifiers,
oh, maybe if
they
you're
had
doing something else,
they
but
had
not
the
that.
Row of judges and mum and my brother and Clifford and Evie and all had booked tickets, and they were right in the front row. So literally
and you're turning
the
around
lights
with your,
the lights
your
and everything on
thumb bikini
your arse hanging out. My arse looked quite good that day, I have to
say.
Yeah. If I had an arse like that, I'd probably wear a bikini in the flipping snow outside, to
you
be
know,
fair.
So all I could see were the judges and my family and looking down and just
so
seeing Evie's face.
Yeah.
She was bursting with pride. There was tears tripping her. And
this
one,
is in the last
the Belfast
one that you
qualifiers,
did,
yeah.
The one you did there.
So it was up at the mill in Newton Abbey.
Uh-huh.
So once you're backstage and you're signed up and everything, you don't see anybody until the show's completely over. So I was getting these WhatsApp messages going, "Mom, you're incredible. You're the best one up there. I'm so proud of you." And
that
I can hear her shouting. I was in bits. And even
that
at that point, I was
saying,
thinking,
no, no.
I actually don't care.
Yes.
Of course I want to
No,
win.
No, no, yes,
but
I know.
What means more?
Not that.
You know, but what means more
yes,
to me is
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassing her.
Yeah.
My brother, his voice was
hoarse.
Gone. You know, my mum's there in the front row, and I could just see how proud everybody was of me. And
lovely.
That just meant the world to have them there. But Evie was the big thing.
So
and
that
I
had been
I'm,
in your mind previous to that last
you know,
competition
you just
going,
think, you know,
does
just,
she like me parading around
yeah.
like this? And,
you know, because she would say that. She'd come back from PE one day and said, "Oh, we were using the weights today in school." And I was like, "Oh, fab." I was telling my teacher you were a bodybuilder. I'm thinking, did you tell your teacher or are you embarrassed that your mummy does this? Because
she probably did tell. It sounds like she probably did.
I would say she probably did.
But I would think that would be actually, when you think about the alternative, like if you had been 10 years ago and you were drinking, you were partying, you were out, you know, that could have been your
that
life.
Would have been,
therefore,
that would have been more embarrassing.
So,
but you have
I mean,
to think, like, she's a young girl and her mum...
But what a...
It's
what a,
you know
mom,
what?
Like, prancing
you,
about in a pair of heels.
Where do you talk
in?
To her
that.
Whenever she's 20 and she goes, "Mom, you really inspired me." She will at some point
I
tell you
so.
that is what
so.
You did
I think
her.
That would be the kind of thing you would want to tell everyone in your class.
Yes.
You know, my mom.
Yes.
Look at
my
as
mom.
Long as she's not taking photographs then.
That's what I mean.
She might get into trouble.
So,
the boys. I'll keep that.
Yeah. Oh, God, I know.
Maybe
your mom's
a
melt time.
Oh my goodness, us friend around. Sarah, I've got a picture of your mum. I suppose they could all get it now anyway. Goodness knows
well,
what they're doing.
It. I know.
Say, not go there. 14-year-old
so
boys.
It's
now become you. It's become your life. It's something that really helps to keep you on the straight and the narrow and keeps your emotions as they should
it's
be.
It's my time. Whenever I go to the gym, I have to leave whatever's in my head in
at
the
door.
Car.
Yeah.
Because I've got to focus on what I'm doing. You know, I really have to concentrate. I'm not throwing about silly little weights. I'm
big time.
Yeah.
And do you think this is something that you will continue to do? Do you
and
think it'll be a part of your life
always,
as long as you can?
Always. And the plan is to compete again in 2024, I'm saying that's the last time. Who knows?
And so after that, if that was the last time, will you
I will just continue to train.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It is just... It's so empowering, and I'm not saying that every woman needs to now go out and get a barbell on their back and start squatting.
But I do think it's important.
Everybody needs to resistance train.
That was exactly the words I was going to say.
A 10 or 15 minute body weight session in the house.
Yes.
You have to.
I think especially as you get older, you will be. I mean, I know whenever you do the cardio and all that, you get the quick rush and everything. But people don't think you get that from doing weights or doing resistance training, but you absolutely do.
The more muscle you have, the faster your metabolic rate is, so actually you'll probably end up losing, you know,
weight-wise, you'll look better as well. But not if take aside the whole physique thing, for later life you need to have muscle. You've got to, you know, if you have a fall, I want to be able to get myself back up again and not have any.
You want to be able to wipe your own ass as well. You don't want to end up in inertia. I remember whenever I went to CrossFit first, I did CrossFit as well. I put my membership on hold because of the marathon. I just couldn't get time to do both. And CrossFit, like, I mean, it is.
I don't know how
to do it. No, I mean, my daughter did that for years, and I used to go up and down to it, so I knew everybody, but I wouldn't. I just kept saying no. Anyway, ended up going. Kerry ended up. That's how me and her actually got together again. And it is hard, and it's fantastic because the premise behind it is the functional and the reason that the guy Greg Glassman is the guy who started the whole thing. He's American. Was for that reason. For people as they get older to be able to continue to function. That was the thing, you know. So when you're doing things like the what do you call them,
wobbles,
right? Yeah. You're doing that. He said, which I mean, nobody can see what I'm doing. I'm going up and down this man. He said that was for children to be able to throw their grandkids in the air and catch them. You know, whereas if you don't do anything like that, you're not going to be able to do that. Now this podcast is not about. Go out there and go to the gym, but you're absolutely right in that it's empowering. It helps you to have longevity of life. I do believe that. And it just makes you
yourself
feel good.
Again, which is what makes you feel good, isn't it? It's just challenging yourself.
Absolutely. It's just finding that thing that lights a bit of a spark.
Yes.
Puts a bit of a fire in your belly.
We talk about that all the time. And, you know, find your thing. I think that's the thing. We all kind of follow people on Insta or Facebook, or we see people and go, I'm going to do that. Yeah. And then you keep going at it, even if it's not a thing you enjoy.
Yeah.
Find your thing.
Exactly. I mean,
Find your thing.
I've never stuck to anything this long.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done all the spin classes. I did run at one stage, and that was all consuming.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to be a runner. Got to 10K was the furthest I ever did.
Yeah. Which is good.
Can't imagine anything worse. No disrespect.
No, not at all.
Can't imagine anything worse than going out and running.
Neither can I.
You know, just couldn't do it. I did all these different classes.
Yeah. You found your thing.
From 2018, there has barely been a day, unless it's a rest day, that I haven't done it. When I go away on holiday, the gym gear goes with me.
You make time.
It might not be.
It's part of you, know.
Yeah. And I'm just going back to what you said about making time. I work full time from home. I have a husband, I have a daughter, and I have
a
my
dog.
Gym. I am
a dog. You nearly forgot
her Daisy with the legs walked off her. But in order for me to get everything done that I need to do, I have to sacrifice some things.
Yeah.
So it's setting the alarm an hour earlier.
Yeah.
On the days where I have to get Tesco's put in as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's doing it because it matters to me.
Yeah. Maybe not getting out to meet your friends. Maybe not doing certain things because you've got to make time for your husband because you've been out at the gym for 2 hours or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. And
not
I just
watching
want,
TV for 2 hours.
Do you know what? Yeah. And anybody that says that they don't have time, well, how long have you spent? Have a look at your phone.
That's what she
said. I said that yesterday on a thing. And you'll,
on a podcast.
You'll be shocked to see
Lift
how long
phone,
you spend on your
how
phone.
How long have you sat and watched?
A wee bit of a
another,
scroll on Insta is fine, but don't let it consume you to the point where that's your excuse for not doing the thing.
Just take 5 minutes and have a look at your day and see where can you scrape
Make
even 20
minutes
mm-hmm. of something to do for you.
Well, that was going to be the final question that I asked, was any words of advice for ladies who are feeling a bit stuck, a bit lost, not sure. They know that they want more, they know they want to feel more, you know. That's probably a good piece
and
of
you
advice.
Know
you know, look
Just
at your day.
Look at your day. Be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I was not kind to myself for a very, very, very long time. And you need to be kind to the woman inside. But you also need to be a wee bit selfish as well.
Yeah.
So if there's something that you really want to do,
fill your cup.
Should it only be, I want 20 minutes a day to go out and have a walk on my own to get my head charred, go and do it.
Because you will never regret it.
No. It makes you a better everything.
Yeah. Well, that's a good line. I like that. It makes you a better everything. Maybe that's what we'll call this podcast.
Yes.
The make wonderful Sarah. Oh, no, forget it. Make Carrie, get a pen. We've got Leslie's
pen. Oh, my goodness. I will get a pen. Have you got one?
Makes
yourself better.
You a better everything. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
Makes you, sorry, we're actually writing things down. Makes you a better everything. Well, look.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Honestly, that's a really, I could, look, here we are, 3/4 of an hour. I could, I had to stop myself because I had so many roads I needed to travel down there. You know, I wanted to know about your wedding, right? I needed to know what happened after Clifford gave you the flowers. What road did that take? I needed to know all sorts of things, but anyway, but I think the bones of it is there.
It was really, really lovely
and
to hear.
I know you were a bit scared. You didn't sound scared. You came across very well.
Thank
and thank you so much for being honest enough to share your story, because people need to hear things like this. People need to know that it's possible.
It's not the end of the line. It's not downhill from here. It's not.
And she looks bloody amazing.
Yeah, she does.
Can I just say that?
Embrace your midlife. It's just another chapter in your whole story, but don't think this...
Sorry,
everything comes to a standstill.
Yes.
It's what you make it. You can
let
it rule you, or you can grab it by the balls and just think, no,
take action.
What can I do to change this? And just do it. But if anybody has any symptoms, get yourself to the doctor.
Yeah.
Please don't write off HRT. So many people I've spoken to have gone, no, I'm never doing that.
But I think people are
don't
scared for a variety of
and
reasons. But do your research.
Absolutely.
Look into it, because there's lots of. I was going to say there's lots of. Articles out there which if you take the time to, you'll see why it's not as scary as
you.
And I mean, obviously different have, but you wouldn't have been able, you would do anything to get out of the way that you were feeling and all. And
I
dread
to think
similar
would have happened. Clifford and I
would not have
been together, and what impact would that have had on Evie, who had said here earlier on is such a well-rounded girl, what way would she be?
You
gotta think.
I think we all owe it to ourselves to at times, as you say, put yourself first, be kind to yourself, and sometimes being kind to yourself means doing the thing you don't want to do. It means setting the alarm half an hour earlier, because that in the long run is being kind to yourself, because you're making yourself better.
Yeah,
like everybody always says, your future self's going to thank you for the things that you do.
Yeah, the only person you have to impress is you at 80 and you at 8.
Absolutely.
And if you're doing what you at 80 is going to go, thank God I took that action.
Thank God
then
I done that.
You're doing a good job. Sarah, thank you so
much.
Thank you. And thank you, girls.
If anybody has any questions or anything, or it just feels inspired, follow Sarah, because her Instagram page is amazing.
You'll not get off it. You'll be stuck in her.
We do see her. And it's just at Sarah Davis.
Mrs. Davies 12.
We will put that up as well, so you can follow. So follow Sarah just for inspiration at what you can do. And again, it's not always about how you look, but it goes hand in hand.
It does.
You fix inside, the outside kind of takes care of itself. So thank you so much.
Thanks,
have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.